views on this program are opinions of dentist industry experts and do not constitute personal financial advice. This program is furnished by Dentist Advisors, a registered investment advisor. You're tuned into Dentist Money Industry Expert Series. Now here's your host, Reese Harper.
Welcome to the Dentist Money Show. I'm your host, Reese Harper, here with a special guest, a friend that I just met, Rudy Fasano. Rudy, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great.
So Rudy is the owner of Dental Design Builds, the Dental Design Build Company, right?
Yes, correct.
They specialize in dental construction, dental interiors, design, space planning, floor planning. So Rudy's got like a wealth of knowledge in this subject, and I thought it'd be awesome to have him on today. He's the kind of division of the team that understands everything from top to bottom. So I want to just ask you kind of out of the gate to give us a little bit of background, how you got into dental, and you know, a little bit more about your story.
Sure. Well, about 8 years ago, I constructed a home for someone, and it ended up being that he was a dental-specific equipment salesperson.
Oh, cool.
And we started talking when I was doing his build, and he mentioned to me that there were a lot of voids in the process when he was getting involved with dental builds as an equipment specialist.
Okay.
And he introduced me into the industry, and I noticed a large void. I did the Yankee show in Boston, the convention, and as I got to know the industry a little bit, again, there was a large void there. And what the void was doctors were being told X amount of dollars to do a build out per square foot. It would take X amount of time, and there was overruns. There was a lot of extras involved, and the doctors really weren't happy at that point.
Huh.
So what I did was I really put my head together with a few other professionals in the industry and formulated a model that I think would really help dentists. And it's true, it's proven to be a win-win.
That's
for
That's awesome. Now, this wasn't in Texas. I can tell from your accent.
No, not at all. I'm born and raised in Connecticut.
Cool.
We're all trying to become a national company.
Yeah.
Right now, we're focused from New York over to Rhode Island.
That's awesome.
We're covering all of New England and
Tri-State. Yeah, take your time and build out the model and continue to expand. That's smart.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the mistakes you see dentists make in the construction process? You know, a few things that come to mind that you'd want people to kind of keep an eye on.
One of the first things is we go a little bit beyond the build here now. So we want to educate dentists on basically starting with their funding first, knowing where they're going to get their money, knowing who they're going to lease from or if they're going to purchase, then speaking to a dental-specific company that can build for them.
Okay.
That's very important. The normal way they've been doing things for many, many years is they've been going to dental equipment specialist people to really guide them through the process. We're not saying that we want to be their adversary, but it's really not in their best interest. They need to truly start with a specific company that's dedicated to dental, who knows how to handle all their needs, from leasing to financing to the build to the overall management of their entire plan.
Yeah.
In the process.
So sometimes they just jump right into purchasing equipment, or they jump right into assuming that maybe their supply rep or their equipment rep might just take them right through the whole process, and they don't get a real team around them?
Right. What happens is, because a lot of these corporations have been around forever, they start out with these territory reps, and, which they're trusted advisors.
Yeah.
But it's broader than that.
Yeah.
When you get involved in construction and you get involved in purchasing or leasing a space and building it, it goes beyond that. And that's where, that's where there was a large void.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's where we really want to educate doctors on where to start and how to begin.
So how's the, talk to me a little bit about the, when we get into construction itself, what are some of the mistakes you see guys make in jobs that you've seen done or things that you think people should do right, when they do construction the right way?
Yeah.
What are some kind of construction-related, more mechanical kind of things that kind of you'd say need to be addressed that sometimes don't in a cheap job versus a quality job?
So in retrospect and in going back, without using dental specific subcontractors who are licensed their own entities, electricians, plumbers, HVAC people, it's critical. So if someone who does plumbing for a living residentially really can't adapt to a dental project, it's very specific. Same goes with the electrical. Electrical wiring is so much different than regular wiring in a commercial or residential atmosphere. So the mechanicals are a large part that gets overlooked. Square footage cost, contractors will just give a doctor a square foot number. Every project unique, it's totally unique. You can't judge something on a square foot number. You have to do a walkthrough, a feasibility study, So these are the things to be aware of.
Yeah.
Okay, and definitely a contract that is wide open, that's not specific, is very, very important, something to be aware, you know, wary
of. Do you see that happen a fair amount when guys do jobs and just kind of piecemeal together a group? It would seem like that's kind of surprising that guys would jump right in and mm-hmm. kind of just grab a plumber, grab an electrician. How do they usually do it if they don't do it this way? You know, what usually happens?
What happens is they really are targeted on the number.
Okay.
Because they're really forced into a position where they have a budget. Either they're a startup dentist with X amount of dollars, or they don't want to spend over a certain amount.
Yeah.
And that's when they're forced into a quick bid, something that's not planned properly.
Okay.
And that's where they get in trouble.
You think sometimes they're in a rush or they're in a hurry and they don't take the time to plan to? I mean, in my experience, it seems like a lot of guys tend to rush through planning and jump right into buying stuff or doing things. It just seems easier than taking the time to plan, you know?
Right. Again, looking back and then going forward, there's no question it's a very pressed atmosphere.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, you know, vying for their time and want to sell them everything.
Yeah.
So they feel pressured and they don't get, you know, the chance or the choice to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And that's where they need to be guided by a professional who understands how to handle all of this.
Yeah. A lot of dental students listen to this radio program getting out of school right now.
Sure.
And they want to catch things the right way. So part of my hope with this is that a guy that's a year or 2 years out right now from doing this job, he hears this and starts to think
sure.
through some of the concepts. It's kind of tough when you're 30 days away from needing to get into your space.
Of course.
You know, this is something that guys need to be thinking about that last year of school or,
yes.
you know, right when they get out. And so talk to me a little bit about some, have you seen any mistakes that guys have made after they've been in practice for a while with remodeling? What does the remodel kind of project look like compared to a, you know, when I can start from scratch, you know? What's the tendency that guys have when they go into a remodel? What do they think about how they're going to tackle that?
All right, so someone's already in an existing practice and wants to renovate their practice. One of the downsides is they have to work. If they're not operating, they're losing income.
Yeah.
So it's a challenging proposition.
Yeah.
And they need to be guided through that as well. It has to be phased properly.
Yeah.
So that's a very large challenge. And if they don't choose the right personnel and the right person to lead them through that, it could really affect their, you know, their daily income
yeah.
and affect them on the other side of the construction cost. So that's something that they should be guided through
yeah.
by a team of professionals.
So let's say I got like 10 operatories and I'm I want to remodel my practice, but I don't want to shut the thing down. You know, how do you go about tackling that? It seems like a huge endeavor. A
lot of planning, a lot of preparation. Really need to know what the doctor's needs are. Then we need to do it in phases. We actually call it color coding.
Okay.
So what we do is we say, okay, we're going to shut a certain area down. We're going to set up a temporary area where we could greet people. People can check in, check out.
Okay.
We have to possibly move your office, IT data. I mean, there's a lot of things involved in this. We got to make sure the communications are up and running.
Do people just end up going, I can't do that. It's too big of a pain. Or do you see a lot of guys being? It seemed like, especially in heavy, dense metro areas, they have to do it. Like, there's no other option, right? It's tough to find another space, or they don't want to move because they love
Correct.
The location. Their patients are all surrounding their office.
Right.
So some guys probably just have to go through that pain, right?
It's like I said, it's a process that some of them were forced into.
Yeah.
They're in a lease they can't get out of.
Yeah.
So, and it's a large up cost for them to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we really, you know, we really try to guide them and hope someone would guide them, you know, directly and how to approach this process. Phasing it and planning it is the key, and it can be done.
So let's talk, I mean, you're kind of in the New England area, East Coast. Talk to me about some of the challenges of these different markets. You know, I think that would be interesting to people and also pragmatic for guys that want to relocate. Talk to me about New York versus Boston versus Connecticut
sure.
on the permitting process side.
Sure.
And talk to me about, like, what types of facilities are like available, what's inventory like in these
sure.
markets, you know, what do they have to pick from, you know?
Sure.
Anyway,
I'll start with Connecticut. Connecticut is a large market. Build and renovation costs in Connecticut are at a height. You're not going to really build for an inexpensive price. You're going to want a decent model, you know. New York is very competitive. It's a tough market, a lot of competition, very hard to park, very hard to get involved with building management companies that are going to allow you to do the work at certain hours. Permitting in New York is difficult. Permitting in Boston, I would say, is a little difficult. Connecticut is fairly straightforward and easy in terms of getting things approved. But it really, you know, whether it be the tri-state area, Boston or Connecticut or Rhode Island, if you do things properly and you submit everything to the town correctly, things will get approved eventually, and you know it'll work its way through.
That's good insight. Tell me a little bit about the Boston market here. What should I plan on spending on the high side to the low side? Because you say per square foot's tough to pin down. It totally is, and
absolutely,
it's variable, right? I mean, you could spend $400 a foot. You could spend $100 a foot.
Right.
What's a reasonable range though for what guys should kind of consider as they go and budget this, you know?
So if it's a startup dentist, I would recommend, you know, not getting into a large space. I would stay 1,800 square feet or less. I would never exceed that because their cap cost is too low, especially when they're borrowing from banks and corporations. If you're someone who's already owned a practice and you want to build and you're looking for a new space, you could have a range of from around $105 to $150, $60 a square foot, depending on the finishes, you know, the uniqueness of the facility, first floor, second floor, third floor, what type of building are you in? Are you on slab construction? So mostly in Boston, you're going to be dealing with slab construction, concrete. You're going to be dealing with multi-level units as well as New York. So, you know, a range is, you know, I'd say in that area, about $105 to $150 or $60. If you exceed that, you're definitely overspending. If you come in, you know, lower than that, you're definitely not going to get a good product.
Yeah, people are going to notice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Rudy, dude, it's been a pleasure. Before we let people go, do you have any tips or ideas that you kind of want to leave people with? Any kind of final thoughts on takeaways you'd want people to have?
All I would say to all dentists is really do your homework. Search out a company that you know is trusted, has a history, is dental specific, and really can cater to your expertise. That's really, you know, what it comes down to, is really finding an advocate that can work for you on your behalf. Stay away from the adversarial system.
Yeah, it's great insight, man. If people want to get in touch with you, how they go about and do that?
They can contact us at structurebuilds.com, so www.structurebuilds.com, or contact us via telephone at 203-627-8412.
Okay, man. Rudy Fasano, one of the nicest guys we met here at the convention in Boston. And we really appreciate you swinging by, man, and look forward to having you back on the show again.
Total pleasure. You know, love being here. It was awesome.
It's awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.